Amen. So there in 2 Chronicles 15, and in 2 Chronicles 15, as we just read, we read about a good king. The Bible says about King Asa. And there's a specific verse that I want to show you about King Asa that I think kind of stands out about this man. Look, if you would, at verse number 17, 2 Chronicles 15, verse number 17. The Bible says, notice, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, notice this next phrase that the Bible tells us about Asa. It says, nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. The Bible says that the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, this is a description that is found few times in the Bible. Few kings in the Bible tells us that they had a perfect heart. Of course, you know, David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that he had a perfect heart before the Lord. You know, Hezekiah, when he prayed before the Lord, he told God, God, I walked before thee with a perfect heart. And here we see Asa, a man who is described as having a perfect heart. And if you would keep your place there, but go to chapter 16 and look at verse number 9. Chapter 16 and verse 9. And what you must understand is that God is searching for people with a perfect heart. 2 Chronicles 16, verse number 9, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord, notice, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The Bible says that God's eyes are running back and forth. He's searching the world. And what is he searching for? It goes on, it says, to show himself strong in the behalf of them who? In the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The Bible says that God's eyes are just scouring the earth. He's just searching, saying, what's God searching for? Is he searching for somebody who looks nice? Is he searching for a big building? No, he's searching for people who have what? Who have a perfect heart, that he would show himself strong into those who have a perfect heart. And what you must understand is that God judges you and God judges me according to our heart. He replaced it in 2 Chronicles 16, but go if you would to 1 Samuel 16, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. The Bible says, as you're turning there, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. It says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You're going to 1 Samuel 16. In Proverbs 21:2, the Bible says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. You see, as you're sitting here today, as I'm standing up here today, God is not only seeing the outside, the exterior, but no, God is looking at your heart. And God is judging your heart. And God is judging my heart. And in 1 Samuel 16, look at verse number 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7. Here it says, notice, but the Lord said unto Samuel. And this is when Samuel is going to search for the next king of Israel. And right now at this time, Samuel is looking at Eliab, David's older brother. And here it says that in verse 7, that the Lord said unto Samuel, notice, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Notice, because I have refused him. Why? It says, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So Samuel here is looking at a man, Eliab, who looks great. He looks strong. But God says, Samuel, I've refused him. Why? Because God doesn't judge the way you and I judge. See, right now, I'm looking at you and I see your exterior. Right now, you're looking at me and all you see is the outside. But God, it says here that God looketh on the heart. See, God judges you according to the inside, according to what's in your heart. And here's the thing, you can do right and not have a perfect heart. You can lose your place there in 1 Samuel, but go back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, and go to 2 Chronicles 25 real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. And you can be the type of Christian, the type of person where you do right in life, where you have the right actions, where you look right, you play the part, but you can do it without having the right heart. You can do it without having a perfect heart. 2 Chronicles 25, and we'll see one example. Look at verse number 2, 2 Chronicles 25, 2. It says, and he, now the he there is talking about Amaziah, a different king of the nation of Judah, who the Bible says he was a good king. So it says, and he, Amaziah, did that which was, noticed, which was right in the sight of the Lord. But notice, but not with a perfect heart. Here we have another king, Amaziah, who did things that was right, but God said his heart was not perfect. His heart was not the way that I wanted it to be. And in your life and in my life, you and I, we can do right. We can play the part. We can do that which is right, but we can do it without having a perfect heart. And here's the thing. Asa was a man who God tells us he had that perfect heart. And Asa was a man who, like most Christians in his life, he started out right. But as we're going to see this morning, Asa was a man who also got backslidden. You see, most Christians, they start off with a perfect heart. Most Christians, they start off the right way, the way God wants them to be. But after a while, their heart changes. That's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That means you ought to protect your heart. You ought to keep your heart the way that God wants it to be, because God wants that perfect heart. You say, what's God looking for? Is he looking for me to look right, to play the part? No, God is looking for a perfect heart, to show himself strong on the behalf of them who? Whose heart is perfect. And this morning I'm preaching on keeping a perfect heart. And if you this morning, if you have a perfect heart, if your heart is tender to the word of God, if your heart is tender to the Bible, to the things of God, God wants you to keep that heart. But you in your heart, if you know that your heart is backslidden, hey, God wants you to get back to what it once was, to where it used to be, to having a perfect heart. Why? Because as we're going to see Asa, most people start right, like Asa did, but after a while they get backslidden in their heart. So go back, if you went to 2 Chronicles, go to chapter 14, 2 Chronicles 14. So this morning I'm preaching on keeping a perfect heart. And of course, I don't mean a sinless heart, because as we see, Asa was not sinless. It says that the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, his heart was perfect all his days. What does that mean? It means his heart was the way that God wanted it to be. So we're not talking about being sinless in life, because none of us are sinless. But we ought to have the right heart before God. And there's three things that we can apply in this story of the life of Asa into our lives, how we can keep a perfect heart. So number one this morning, a perfect heart relies on God. A perfect heart relies on God. In 2 Chronicles, we're going to see a time in Asa's life when he was right with God. A time in Asa's life when he had that right heart. And as we're going to see, when trials came, when battles came to his life, we're going to see the right response from a man who was right with God. 2 Chronicles 14, look at verse number 9. 2 Chronicles 14, 9, the Bible says, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian. Here we have an army coming against Asa and coming against the nation of Judah. There's war coming. Hard times are coming in his life. And notice what it says. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,300 chariots and came unto Maresha. Look at verse number 11. Notice the response of a man who is right with God. A man who has the right heart. It says, and Asa, notice, cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Notice what he says. He says, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest. What does that mean? That means we're relying. That means my heart is trusting. It's resting. It's relying on who? On thee. It says, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out against the multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So when the battle came to Asa, when the hard times came, and look, Asa, he had a great army, it tells us. And he could have trusted in his army. He could have relied on the army. But Asa, because his heart was right with God, he chose to rely on God. And notice the response in verse 12. It says, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. And so God gave deliverance to Asa. Why? Because, not because he had a great army, but because his hope, his faith was in God. And you in your life, you can have the finances. You can have the health. You can have everything going for you physically. But unless you rely on the Lord, God's not going to give you that victory. And here's the thing, most Christians, they start off right. And isn't this the reason why we came to a church like this? Because our lives needed some help. Because we cried unto God, said, God, I'm struggling in my life. I'm struggling in my home, with my kids, with my finances, with my marriage, with my job, in life. I'm struggling with some sin in my life. And what do? We cry unto God. We rely on God, and what do? We come to church. We decide to be faithful to church because we want God to help us in our lives. And that's the right heart. That's the heart that God wants us to have, where we trust in him. And what do? We start going soul winning sometimes. We start going soul winning because we want God to help to work in our lives. We start reading our Bible. We start praying because we believe in our heart that God is going to help us for the battles that are coming. And that's the right heart. And we got to keep that heart. We got to realize that if you start coming to this church, keep the heart where you always know that you always need God. Now, without him, no matter if he blesses you, you still need him throughout your life. Can you place it in 2 Chronicles 14, but go to Psalm 112. Psalm chapter number 112. So a perfect heart relies on God. And a perfect heart will continue to rely on God. And this is the heart that God wants you to have. A heart that will rely on him. You're going to Psalm 112. A heart that will trust in him. When the battles come, when the hard times come, they're going to be faithful. Fix your heart, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112, look at verse number 1. Psalm 112, 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Notice, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Here we have a man who has the right heart. It says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Look at verse number 7. It says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. And look, in life, there's always evil tidings. In life, there's always struggles. In life, there's always battles that are coming. Look, the battles in life are not going to end. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to live a smooth life. No, hard times are going to come. The Ethiopians will come against you. There's going to be hard times. But notice what this man does. It says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Notice, his heart is fixed, meaning his heart's not changing. His heart's not moving. His heart's not waving. Doing what? Notice, trusting in the Lord. See, the right heart will continue to trust in God. Verse 8, his heart is, notice, established. Meaning what? Meaning it's fixed. It's not moving. It's established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. You see, what does God want me to do in my life when the battles come? He wants you to rely on him. The same way, when you chose to start coming to church, you did that because you wanted to rely on God, to rest upon him. Why? Because you believed in your heart that God can help your situation. And God can help your situation. You came to church and you came soul winning. You started reading your Bible, you started praying because you believed in your heart that God can help you, and God can help you. But sometimes, after a while, we lose that reliance. And our heart departs from God when we begin to trust in other things. But that's not the heart that God wants. The Bible says in James 5:8, it says, be also patient, establish your heart for the coming of the Lord. See, God wants our hearts to be established, to be unmovable. And here's the thing, in life, evil tidings will come, battles will come, things are going to change in our life, but our hearts should never change relying, trusting in the Lord. But unfortunately, as we see Asa, a man who had the right heart, he responded the right way, we see later in life that he did get backslidden. And this unfortunately happens to people, to most Christians. After a while, they eventually get backslidden. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. 2 Chronicles 16. And let's forward in the life of King Asa into a time of his life where he was not right with God, a time of his life when his heart was not right, a time when he responded wrongly. And we see that Asa, that at one point he was tender. At one point he did rely on God, but notice what happens years later when another battle comes, when he's not right with God. 2 Chronicles 16, look at verse number 1. Notice, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, again, talking about Asa, notice, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. Here we have, later in the life of Asa, another battle. Now we have somebody else. Now we have Baasha, king of Israel. He's coming to fight against Asa, coming to fight against Judah. And notice the response of somebody who's not right with God. The response of somebody whose heart is not tender, whose heart is not perfect. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, it says, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. And notice what he does. He takes the silver and gold out of the house of God, and notice, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. See, now we see Asa not relying on God, not trusting in the Lord. Now he's relying on the world. Now he's going to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, for help. Notice what it says in verse 3. And notice what Asa tells Ben-Hadad. He said, notice, there is a league between me and thee. See, now we see Asa backslidden. And what does he do? He's more concerned about the league, the relationship that he has with the world, when he should have been concerned with the relationship that he had with God, the league between him and the Lord. You see, how do I know when I'm getting backslidden? You know when your heart's getting backslidden when you take the treasures out of the house of the Lord. When the hard times come, when the struggles come, there was a time in your life when you relied on God, when you came to church, when you read your Bible, when you prayed because you wanted God to help you. But after a while, because your heart's not right, all of a sudden now church is the problem. When the hard times come, when the struggles come in your relationships, at your job, with your finances, in life in general, now all of a sudden you think that, well, maybe church is the problem. Maybe the problem is that I'm going to church too often. Well, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as a manner of some is and exhorting one another, and so much the more. See, the Bible says that we need more church. And church is never the problem. Church is never, it's not that church needs to go. No, it's just that your heart's not right. There was a point in your life when you came soul winning and you loved it, but now all of a sudden, because the struggles come, the hard times come, now maybe soul winning is a problem. Now maybe I should give up on soul winning because that's the problem. Take the treasures out of the house of the Lord and let's go to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to help our situation. And in your life, when the struggles come, when the hard times come, you got to ask yourself, you know, how is your Bible reading in those times? Has your Bible reading and your prayer life, has it gone by the wayside because you choose to trust in something else? Because in your heart, you think, well, maybe it doesn't work. And you begin to rely in your heart on things that will not benefit, on something besides the Lord. And in verse number 7, go if you go to verse 7, we see the rebuke from the man of God. We see the man of God, Hanani, coming to reprove and rebuke Asa for his error. In verse number 7, the Bible says, and at that time, Hanani, here we have the man of God coming to Asa, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, notice, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Here we have the rebuke of the man of God. Hanani says, you know, Asa, you're going to lose this battle. Not because you don't have a great army, because your hope, your faith, you're not relying upon God. And in your heart, if you think the struggles are going to be fixed by you getting the treasures out of the house of the Lord, you're wrong. And God's not going to fight for you, and you're not going to win. You must continue in your heart to rely on God. So in your heart, do you think sometimes that, you know, maybe church is the problem? Or maybe soul winning is the problem? Or maybe Bible reading is taking too much time, or prayer life is taking too much time? When the struggles come, those are the things that you need to be more established on. Fix your heart on the Lord and not on the world. And if you look at verse number 8, we have Hanani reminding Asa of the time when he used to be right with God. And look at verse number 8. Here we have Hanani. He reminds Asa when he was right with God. It says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host? And with very many chariots and horsemen? Notice, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. He reminds Asa, hey Asa, remember back when you used to be right with God, when you trusted in the Lord, when he fought your battles for you? And notice he says the Ethiopians and the Lubims, hey, that was a harder battle to fight. And God gave you that victory, but now because you're not relying on God, he's not going to let you in. Verse number 9 again, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Notice, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And we have the man of God, Hanani, reminding Asa, hey, remember back when you used to be right with God? And you know, if you in your heart, if you know you're backslidden in your heart, we should ask you that question. Sometimes we should ask ourselves that question. Hey, remember back when you used to be right with God? Back when coming to church was a joy? Back when you came to church to help, to allow God to fix your life? Back when you used to read your Bible because you believed in your heart that God would help you? Back when you used to go soul winning so you get the power of God upon your life? When you used to pray because in your heart you knew that God can help you win those battles. Go if you want to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians 2 in the New Testament. Colossians 2. And so we see Asa, a man who's backslidden, a man whose heart is not perfect at this moment with God. What does he do? He relies on somebody else. He doesn't rely on God. He relies on the world. Go to Colossians 2. And in your life and in my life, the answer is never, hey, let's take the treasures out of the house of the Lord. No, the answer is always get more rooted in God. Get more established in the Lord. Do more for God. Get more time in your prayer. Get more time in your Bible. Colossians 2. And when you get to Colossians, keep your place here. We're going to be going back there. Colossians 2, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Notice verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in him. You say, what should I do when the battles come? What should I do when the hard times come? The Bible says get more rooted. So you got to get more planted in church. You got to get more planted in soul winning. More rooted in your Bible. More rooted in prayer time. It says rooted and built up in him. Notice, and established in the faith. What does that mean? It means it's not moving. And look, in your life, the outside will move. The circumstances in your life will change all the time, but your heart should always be established, trusting in the Lord. Not moving. Notice, establishing the faith in verse 7, as ye have been taught. Notice, abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, the answer is never to do less. The answer is to abound, to do more, to get more established. And you in your life, if you got into the place in your heart where you feel like, man, church is too much, or Bible reading is too much, or soul winning is too much, it's because your heart is trusting in something else. And the struggles that you have right now, God can't help you. But the answer is to get more rooted. The answer is to get more grounded. The answer is to get more established in the things of God. And don't be like Asa in this time when God used to bless him, when God used to protect him, when God did fight his battles, not because he had a great army, because his heart was fixed, trusting in the Lord. And so if you this morning, you know in your heart, hey, I trust in the Lord. I come to church because I believe God will help me. I go soul winning because I want God's power in my life. I read my Bible because I know God can help me. I pray because I know God is listening. If that's you, you got to keep your heart. And don't let Satan change your heart. Don't allow yourself to get your heart hardened. And if you know, hey, your heart's kind of departed, you should choose to get right. You should choose to go back to when you once did trust in God, when you once did know that church and Bible reading was a blessing and it would help you. And God used to fight for you, but now he's not fighting for you because your heart has departed. Go back to 2 Chronicles 15, if you would. 2 Chronicles. Keep your place in Colossians. We're going to be going back there. We'll go back to 2 Chronicles. So number one, a perfect heart does what? A perfect heart relies on God. And only you in your heart, you know if you're relying in the Lord. But number two, you're going to 2 Chronicles 15. Number two, a perfect heart responds properly to the man of God. A perfect heart responds properly to the man of God. Here we're going to see Asa, a time in his life when he was right with God, when he had a perfect heart, when his heart was tender to God. We're going to see the right response from the right heart. 2 Chronicles 15, look at verse number 1, where we began reading. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Here we have the man of God, Azariah, preaching to Asa in verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Jump down to verse number 7. It says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So here we have the prophet of God, the man of God, coming to Asa, and he says, hey, Asa, God's with you if you're with him. You will find God if you seek him. He says, Asa, be strong. Don't let your hands be weak. And let's see the response of somebody who is right with God. The response of somebody who has the right heart. Notice it says in verse 8, and when Asa, notice, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, notice what he does is he took courage. What does Asa do? He received the preaching from the man of God. He took courage from the man of God. But not only did he receive the preaching, notice what he does. It says, and put away the abominable idols. See, not only did Asa receive the preaching, he took courage, but you know what he did? He went home and he applied the sermon in his life. And this is the right heart. The heart that when it comes to church, they receive the preaching. They take courage from the word of God. They take courage from the man of God. But it doesn't stop there. They go home and they put away the abominable idols out of, it goes on, it says, out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. See, the right heart, when they come to church, is not only will they hear the preaching, not only will they receive and receive courage, but they're going to go home and they apply the sermons in their life. And you in your life say, how do I know if I'm right with God? If you come to church and you hear the preaching and you go home and you apply it, you actually make a difference in your life. Why? Because the right heart responds properly to the man of God. Keep your place or go back. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. You're in Colossians. The next book over is 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Keep your place there in 2 Chronicles. So number 2, a perfect heart, as we see in Asa, a perfect heart responds properly to the man of God. See, Asa, because his heart was right, he heard the preaching, he heard the word of God, and he took courage, and he made a change in his life. He didn't let that sermon go to the wayside. No, he actually applied the sermon in his life. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, look at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Bible says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Notice, because when ye receive the word of God. Here we have Paul thanking God for the people in Thessalonians. Why? Because not only did they receive the word of God, notice, which he heard of us, you received it, notice, not as the word of men. See, when you come to church, you come to church to hear the preaching from the word of God. And when you receive it, you don't receive it as the word of men. You receive it as it is in truth, the word of God. You see, why is it that people skip out of church because pastor's not here? It's because they believe, well, let's just hear what pastor says. Oh, it's only Brother Oliver speaking, so let's not go to church. Or let's not pay attention. Or let's not apply the sermon. But whether it's me or whether it's anyone else, look, if it's from the word of God, it's not as the word of men. It's as it is in truth, the word of God. And you ought to take it as such. And look, a heart that is right with God will come to church like this, and they're going to decide, I'm going to apply this sermon to my life before they even walk in the doors. It's not going to be like, well, let's see who's preaching so I can get something out of it. No, if it's from the word of God, you receive it. You take courage, but then you go home and you actually apply the sermon in your life. It says, you received it not as the word of men, notice, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you, also in you that believe. See, some of you in your heart, you don't believe that. Some of you in your heart, you wonder, why doesn't God change me in this church? Because in your heart, you just think it's the word of men. But in your heart, those of you who believe, hey, it's the word of God, then you know that's going to work in your life. It's going to work in you, for those of you that believe. But here's the thing, you have to believe that in your heart. The Bible says about those who were the people in Berea, they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and then they went home and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. See, it's not just enough to come to church and hear it and receive it. You got to go home and apply the sermon in your life. See, what will a perfect heart do? A perfect heart will respond properly to the man of God. And here we see Asa, a man who, when he heard the preaching, he took courage. He loved the preaching. And he decided to go home and make a change. But unfortunately, as we're going to see in King Asa, unfortunately, most people stop listening to the man of God. Back to 2 Chronicles 16. Most people, unfortunately, stop responding properly. They don't respond as they once did in the past. We're going to see this in the life of Asa. When Asa's heart was not right, when Asa was backslidden, he chose to respond improperly to the man of God. 2 Chronicles 16, look at verse number 7. It says, "And at that time, Hanani the seer," notice it's another man of God. Again, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, verse 7, "and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." At the end of verse number 9, again, it says, "Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." So now we're going to see Asa in the time of his life when his heart was not right, when he was backslidden, and the man of God comes to reprove Asa, to rebuke Asa for his error. And notice what a backslidden heart will do. The response of somebody who's backslidden, look at verse number 10, it says, "Then Asa was wroth with the seer." If you ever find yourself angry with the preacher, angry with your pastor, you got to ask yourself, why am I so angry? Is it the message, or is it him, or is it the message? And look, it's probably the message. It's probably because there's some sin in your life, King Asa. It's probably because you need some reproof in your life or some rebuke. It says here that Asa, who was backslidden at this time, was wroth with the seer. And notice what he does. It says, "and put him in a prison house." You see, somebody whose heart is backslidden, what they'll do is they'll mistreat the man of God. There was a point in Asa's life when he respected the man of God, when he heard the man of God, but now we see him doing what? Throwing him into a prison. Why? Because a heart that's backslidden, what they'll do is they'll mistreat the man of God. Once they respected the man of God, once they applied the sermon, once they appreciated the hard work of what's being preached, now they're angry with the seer. Now they want to mistreat the man of God. It says, notice in verse 10, "for he was in a rage because of this thing." You see, what does a backslidden heart look like? It looks like when you come to church and you get angry with your pastor because he steps on your toes or he preaches against your sin, when you get angry with him, but it's not really him, it's because your heart's not right. And here we see Asa, a heart who's not right at this time. What does he do? He gets angry. He mistreats the man of God. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians, go to chapter number 5. Why? Because a perfect heart will respond properly to the man of God. And you got to ask yourself, was there a time in your life when you came to church and you responded more to the man of God, to the preaching of the word of God? And here's the thing. Most people, when they start coming to church, when they start getting their life right, hey, they love the sermons. They'll amen the sermons. They'll apply the sermons. They love the preaching. But after a while, because their heart gets hardened, because their heart departs from God, you see the anger. You see that there's no joy there when they used to once love the preaching. And if you're sitting here, you say, "Hey, man, I love the preaching of the word of God. I love the man of God." You ought to keep that heart. And don't change that heart. And if you in your heart, hey, you know, you used to respond properly, you better get your heart back to where it once was. Why? Because a backslidden heart, they'll mistreat the man of God. And notice what it says in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. It says, notice, "and we beseech you, brethren," notice, "to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Notice what it says in verse 13. Notice, "and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." The Bible says we ought to esteem the man of God very highly in love for their work's sake. And here's the thing. Asa did not esteem the man of God very highly in love for his work's sake. See, I'm sure Hanani, he probably cared for Asa. He loved Asa, and he gave Asa what he needed. But instead of responding properly, he was angry. And so in this church, we got to realize that our pastor, when he comes to preach the word of God, we got to esteem him very highly in love for his work's sake. Why? Because it takes work to preach the sermons that our pastor preaches. And why does he do it? It's to help you, to get you right with God, Asa, to get your heart back to what it once was. But when you mistreat the man of God, it shows, hey, it's not the man of God. No, it's your heart. And if you in this church, you used to once respect your pastor a little bit more, you used to once listen to him a little bit more, you got to get your heart back to what it once was before. And don't be angry with the seer when he preaches the word of God. Look at verse number 20, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20. Notice what it says. It says, notice, "despise not prophesying." See, a heart that is not right with God will do what? They're going to despise prophesying. They're going to despise. They're going to hate the preaching. And look, if your life, if you used to love the preaching from the word of God, yeah, I ask yourself, what happened? Is it the preaching that changed? Is it the pastor that changed? No, it's probably your heart that's changed. And you should get your heart back to what it once was, back to when you used to receive courage, back to when you used to go home and you used to make changes in your life, back to when your heart was perfect, tender to the word of God. Go back to it of 2 Chronicles 15. So number one this morning, I said a perfect heart relies on God. Number two, a perfect heart responds properly to the man of God. But number three this morning, as we're going to see in the life of King Asa, a perfect heart regards the well-being of others. A perfect heart regards the well-being of others. I want you to notice what Asa does after he hears some preaching from the Word of God. What a heart that is right with God, what they will do. In 2 Chronicles 15, look at verse number 8. It says, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord." So here we see Asa, after the preaching of the Word of God, he makes changes in his life. But notice what a perfect heart does. A heart that is right with God. Notice what they'll do in verse 9. It says, "And he," talking about Asa, "gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." See, here we see Asa being right with God, having a right heart. He makes a change in his life. But you know what? Not only is he concerned for himself, but no, he's concerned for others. Why? Because a perfect heart regards the well-being of others. What does he do? It says, notice, "And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin." We see Asa's heart for who? For his brethren. He goes for his brothers, and he wants them to get right with God. Why? Because a right heart wants other people to get right with God. Not only that, it says, notice, "and the strangers," people he doesn't even know. He's concerned for their well-being. And look, a perfect heart comes to a church like this, and they're not only concerned about themselves, no, but they're concerned about the well-being of their brother. They care about their brother. They're there for their brother. They pray for them. And not only that, but they're concerned for the strangers. They have a heart for those they don't even know, a heart for lost souls, people who are dying and going to hell. And this is the right heart that Asa had. Look at verse number 15. It says, "And all Judah rejoiced at the oath." Notice there was gladness. It says, "All Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." You see, a perfect heart, someone who's right with God, not only cares about themselves, no, but they care about their brother in Christ. They care about the strangers that are without. They care about those, not only about you getting right, but you know what? About others getting right as well. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians, and go to chapter number 3. See, a perfect heart regards the well-being of others. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And look at verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12, the Bible says, "And the Lord make you," notice, "to increase and abound in what? In love." Notice, one toward another. What is that? That's all Judah. That's all Benjamin. Those are your brothers and sisters. It says in verse 12, "And the Lord make it to increase and abound in love one toward another." Notice, "and toward all men." Who is all men? Those are the strangers that are without. Those are the people you don't even know. Those are the people outside these walls who, without you, they're not going to get saved. Who, without you, they're not going to hear the gospel. You see, what does a right heart look like? A right heart looks like somebody who comes to church and they want to be a blessing to their brother in Christ. They want to pray for them. They want to help them. What does a right heart look like? They come to church and they decide to go soul winning. Why? Because it's not all about you. It's about the strangers that are without, strangers who need the Lord, people who are dying, going to hell. That's what a right heart looks like. It says, "even as we do toward you." Look at verse 13. It says, notice, "to the end he may," what? "Establish your," what? "Your hearts." To the end, the goal is to, for you to what? To get your heart established. "Unblameable in holiness," notice, "before God," even our Father, "at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints." See, it says to the end, whether your heart may be established, who, before men? No, before God. See, I can't look at your heart. You can't look at my heart. But God is looking at your heart, and God is judging you based on your heart. And the point is for your heart to get right, to be right with God. Why? Because we ought to be blameless, unblameable in holiness in our hearts before God. See, what does a right heart look like? A right heart cares about their brother. A right heart cares about their brother in Christ. A right heart cares about strangers. But unfortunately, when your heart's not right, you stop caring about other people. You stop regarding the well-being of others. And we see this, unfortunately, in the life of Asa when his heart was not right. Go back to 2 Chronicles. Keep your place there. Actually, no, you can lose your place. We'll go back to 2 Chronicles 16. And we're going to see Asa, who once had a right heart, who was once right with God, and he cared about his brother. He cared about the strangers without. Now we're going to see Asa, a man who's backslidden, a man who at this point in his life, his heart is not right. And notice what a heart that's not right does toward other people. In verse number 10 again, it says, "And Asa was wroth with the seer and put him into prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing." Notice in verse 10, "And Asa," what does he do? "Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time." See, when Asa was not right with God, when Asa's heart was wrong, what does he do? He oppressed people. What does that mean to oppress people? It means to put people down. You see, what does a heart that's backslidden do? A heart that's wrong and backslidden will come to church like this, and they'll oppress people. They'll put people down. They'll start murmuring about people. They'll start backbiting. They'll start gossiping, putting people down, lying about people. And if that's you, you gotta stop doing that. You gotta realize that your heart's not right. You say, well, that's my spouse. Well, your spouse's heart's not right. You say, that's my friend. Then your friend's heart's not right. And look, and if you come to church and you put people down, you put your brother in Christ down, it shows you don't care about them. You don't care. You don't regard the well-being of other people. You just care about yourself. And you got to stop doing that. But a right heart cares about others. See, a right heart's not going to go around and talk bad about people, put the pastor down, put people down, gossip about people. That shows the wrong heart. And you got to get your heart right. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter number 28. So we see Asa in the time of his life when he was backsliding. When his heart was not right, what does he do? He oppresses people, lifts himself up, put other people down. And this is the sign of someone whose heart is not right. Proverbs 28, look at verse number 25. It says, he that is what? Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is of a proud heart, somebody whose heart is not right, he that is of a proud heart, no, stirreth up strife. See, somebody who's not right with God, what they'll do is they'll stir up strife. They'll put other people down, oppress people, make people look bad, make people feel bad to make themselves look good. And so if you came to this church and you at one point your heart was right, you cared about your brother in Christ, you care about people in this church, but something changed, you got to realize what changed. Is it the people or is it your heart? If you come to this church and you used to love the lost souls, you used to love the strangers without, you used to go soul winning because you cared for people dying to go to hell, you ask yourself, what happened? Did hell change? Did people just automatically get saved? Or is it that your heart that changed? That you at one point you had the right heart, but you did not keep it with all diligence. You lost the tenderness. You lost that perfect heart. And God says, hey, you know what? Get it back. Get your heart right to what it once was. Get it back to what it was. Why? Because a heart that is right with God, a heart that is perfect, not only cares about themselves, about them getting right, but the right heart regards the well-being of others. Go back to what it says, 2 Chronicles. So number one this morning, I said a right heart relies on God. Number two, a perfect heart relies on God. Number two, a perfect heart responds properly to the man of God. And number three, a perfect heart regards the well-being of others. Go to 2 Chronicles, go to chapter number 15, look at verse number 17 again. 2 Chronicles 15, 17. I want you to notice what the Bible says about Asa here. Even though we see Asa at times getting backslidden, we see Asa at times, his heart not always being what it should be. But I want you to notice what God says about the man Asa in verse 17 again. It says, of 2 Chronicles 15, 17, it says, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Notice, nevertheless, notice what it says. The heart of Asa was perfect. Notice this word. It says, all his days. You know what this shows me? This shows me even the best of kings can get backslidden. God, if you would have asked God, God, what do you think of Asa? God would have said, Asa's heart was perfect all his days. Even though, yes, we see him getting backslidden. Even though, yes, sometimes he departed from God. Even though, yes, sometimes his heart was not right. God would say, you know what? His heart was perfect all his days. This shows me, you know what? Even the best of kings, even the best of Christians, all of us at times, we get backslidden in our heart. But you know what? I want you to notice how Asa ended his walk with God. Go to chapter 16, if you would. Chapter number 16, verse 12. I want you to notice how Asa ended his walk with God. It says here in verse 12 of chapter 16, it says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Until his disease was exceeding great. The Bible says here that Asa ended his life with a terrible disease. I mean, so terrible that it says that it was exceeding great. But notice what Asa did not do. It says, yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. It says Asa, in this disease that was exceeding great, it says he didn't seek the Lord. You see, what happened? You see, I believe that God allowed this disease to plague Asa's life. Not for the sake of just punishing him or hurting him, because I believe that God wanted Asa to get right with God. I believe that God wanted Asa to seek him. And you say, right now, maybe in your life, you're struggling, and you wonder why. God can change those circumstances, but he's not trying to change the circumstances. He's trying to change your heart. He wants your heart to get right to what it once was. You say, why is God not curing my disease in my feet or whatever's going on in your life? It's because he wants you to seek him. And while you may think that the hope is in Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, it's not there. Your hope is in relying in the Lord. So what should you do? You should, number one, you should choose to rely on God. You should respond properly to the man of God. You should go back to regarding the well-being of others. You should get your heart right. And if that's you this morning, go if you would to Psalm 51. If that's you this morning, we're going to end here in Psalm 51. If that's you this morning, you got to realize that, hey, God wants you to get right. That maybe God allows those struggles, those hard times in your life, not for the sake of punishing you, but for the sake of getting your heart back to what it once was. And if you, right now, you say, my heart's clean, my heart's right, you got to keep that heart. But if you, this morning, if you know in your heart it's not what it used to be, you got to pray to God and ask him to get it back to what it once was. Psalm 51, verse number 10, we'll end here. It says, notice, Psalm 51, 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, I believe that God can give you a clean heart. God can give you a fresh start. What should you do? You should pray and ask God to get your heart back to what it once was, perfect like it once used to be. Renew a right spirit within me and go back to being like, and where God would describe you like Asa, he would say, the brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they had a perfect heart all his day. So if that's you, pray this prayer. Say, God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for everyone that's here, dear God. And I just pray that you be with the message. And I pray you be with each one of our hearts, dear God. I just ask that you bless the church in Fresno and bless each one of us that are here, dear God. And I ask that you be with the services this evening, God. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.